Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Boston Celtics select J.D. Davison from the University of Alabama.
A freshman guard from the University of Alabama. He's one of four Division I freshmen to record 250 points, 125 rebounds, and 125 assists, Jay.
Well, J.D. Davison is a small guard, but he's really explosive.
With big hair.
Yeah, he does have big hair, doesn't he? But can really get off the floor. Very good in transition. Had some turnover issues. Is not a shooter. You wonder exactly what his game is, but you know, he is spectacularly athletic, and he had some big-time finishes, including a huge tip dunk. I think it was against Houston late in the game. But he is athletically just off the charts, just a small guard.
So we're not quite sure what this guy is. We know he's a good athlete.
Can jump.
He could jump. There's no question about it. You know, we was reading one scouting report earlier, the 28% turnover percentage, the highest of any player drafted in the past decade. Somewhat of a challenge offensively. They say he's challenged because he doesn't really, 12.7 points per 40, second lowest of any current player drafted. Compounded by Davidson's struggles shooting off the dribble, has problems with his handle. So I don't really know what you got here other than a good athlete. So let's ask the man himself. Jeff Goodman joins us on the Harbor One hotline from the stadium. Jeff, let's start with that. J.D. Davison, what can you tell us about him? What do the Celtics get here at pick number 53?
I think he'd be a hell of a Harlem Globetrotter.
Yeah, we wonder if he could play safety for the Pats. He's going to seem like a good athlete.
He could do that too. He's a freak athlete, okay? And he was like an Instagram sensation because of his, like, you know, clips and his highlights and his dunks. But can he play basketball at a high level? I don't know, but at 53, probably worth a roll of the dice. Not a great shooter. Not a point guard. So, you know, again, I don't have a lot of confidence that you're going to see J.D. Davison playing any sort of meaningful minutes for the Boston Celtics anytime soon or probably ever. But, again, if you're going to roll the dice at 53, roll the dice on somebody that's got, you know, measurables and physical gifts that Lou Maloney never had.
No, that is true. I have just a quick follow-up on that because I felt like – with the NILs, I felt like we wouldn't get these kind of guys, like a 19-year-old fringe freshman. Why wouldn't he go back to college? Like, what? Why is he in the draft?
Yeah, I mean, that's a good point because you're right. He probably could have made, you know, I just don't know how much even the Alabama head coach, Nate Oates, like, wanted him back in a sense of, like, hey, we're going to give you $300,000 to make sure you come back. He didn't impact winning for Alabama. So it wasn't like a guy like the big guys who went back to college this year, the Oscar Sheboys of Kentucky, Hunter Dickinson at Michigan, Armando Bacot of Carolina. Most of those guys impacted winning. So those coaches are saying to themselves, like, we got to figure it out from an NIL perspective and get him a million plus or somewhere in that neighborhood. Well, with Nate Oates at Alabama, that's not how he's thinking. He's thinking, like, our culture wasn't great. Let's turn the page and bring in the next group and improve our culture and get guys who know how to play. And J.D. Davison, unfortunately, he doesn't know how to play yet. He's got to learn that. If he knew how to play, J.D. Davison would have been a lottery pick. So it's going to take time if he picks it up.
So, Jeff, I want to ask you then, since the Celtics didn't make a move to or make a trade to move up in the draft, what targets are you looking at for the Celtics now in this offseason to acquire, be it through trade exceptions, free agency, all of that?
So I like a couple names. I forget who dropped the name Kevin Huerter, but I really like that one for Atlanta. I don't know why or if they would move off of Kevin Huerter because his contract is still pretty reasonable. I think it's like 13 to 14 a year. But they did draft A.J. Griffin, the Hawks, who's a shooter, who's a terrific spot-up shooter, 6'5", out of Duke, shot 42 from three. So maybe you could do something for Kevin Huerter if Atlanta doesn't see him, you know, heavily in their plans in their future. Another guy for me would be, I would look at like Buddy Hield. Okay, so Indiana drafted Ben Mathurin, who is with the number 6 pick from Arizona. Lou knows I went to school there.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a terrific shooter and can do more. And they got Tyrese Haliburton in a trade last year. They've got enough shooters. You know, they're talking about maybe moving off Malcolm Brogdon. But to me, Buddy Hield would be perfect for the Celtics if you could ever pry him. Now, his contract, I want to say it's like 21 and then 19 over the next 2 years. So it's hefty, but he's the perfect type of guy, because if you throw out a veteran who has already made shots at a pretty good clip throughout his career, they're going to have to respect him. No matter – listen, Grant Williams made shots this past year, and if he does it again and again, they'll start to respect him. But most of those shots were uncontested. Why? Because, again, he hadn't done it, so they're not having to guard him out there. You need guys like that, Buddy Hield. Even if he's 0 for 7 from 3, they've got to respect him, which then in turn allows Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum to operate in much more space, which allows them to be able to dribble without having the ball, you know, stolen from them or at least, you know, swiped away from them consistently.
Jeff, over the last couple of days, feels like we've talked about everything for the Celtics offseason. We've talked about trade Marcus Smart, trade for Kevin Durant, do nothing and just, you know, sort of develop from within. If you were the GM, if you were pulling the strings like Brad Stevens, what would your approach be to this team that was 2 games away from winning the NBA title?
I'd add one more piece, a shooter. I'd add one more piece and use this trade exception and see what I can add. Because I understand the Marcus Smart thing, and I felt that way too to some degree, but then you look around and you look at your options. And again, like, nobody's trading – Dallas isn't trading Luka. Memphis isn't trading Ja. Milwaukee's not even trading Drew. So, like, what are you getting to really upgrade at that position? The draft sucked for point guards. It's the position isn't getting better. It's getting worse. So – I understand Marcus Smart has his deficiencies on the offensive end as a point guard. But ultimately, unless you can tell me you're going to have a major upgrade, I'm going to keep Marcus Smart. I'm going to keep this team that gelled over the last 4 or 5 months unbelievably. And I'm going to add another piece and see if that makes the difference and can take you over the top, because you were pretty damn close this past year.
Oh, we're talking to Jeff Goodman, the stadium. Jeff, so we're talking about this too, like the bench. We talked a lot about the starters, and Tatum needs to be better. We've talked to you about that, I think, before too. But to me, this bench, I felt like it did get exposed, right, with some youth. Well, those guys got better, but I think that's where I'd look at and say, okay, where's that veteran guy? Like, you know, Iguodala didn't do anything for them, but I was looking at like Jay Crowder types, Patty Mills, those names have been brought up before. Like, isn't that what they kind of need on this bench and replace maybe one or two of them?
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. Like, you know, a Buddy Hield, a Kevin Huerter, whether they're starters or forces one of these guys to come off the bench. But you need to add a veteran. You need to add somebody that's already done it that, you know, again, Peyton Pritchard can do it for a game. And then for the next couple of games, he disappears. You know, Grant Williams will do it for a game or two. And then, you know, again, he's inconsistent. So, I think you need somebody that you can rely on that has done it consistently over the course of their career and is maybe going to accept a little bit of a lesser role, but with the thought of hopefully contending for a title.
Are the Celtics in that position, Jeff, that we've always wanted them to be, like a destination for these guys, right? These veteran players, this veteran big for depth, the veteran bench player, are they now in that conversation?
I mean, they're not at the top of it, but they're in the conversation now, at least, you know, for the right guy, right? For the right guy that's saying, hey, you know what? I'm all about winning, or I haven't won one and I want to have a chance to. You know, it's not like Golden State can't take everybody. You know, not everybody can go to South Beach. You know, there's certain destinations that Boston's still ahead of a lot of these destinations around the league. You know, the Oklahoma Cities, the Houstons, the Dallas, like all those places, they're ahead of them. They're just not 1, 2, or 3.
So you brought up South Beach there. Our buddy Kendrick Perkins said, I think on a podcast yesterday, that he would look at Kevin Durant eyeing South Beach. Just based on gut feeling, who does Kevin Durant play for this upcoming season?
Brooklyn. I still think he ends up in Brooklyn because even if Kyrie leaves, he can bring in somebody else. And you have Ben Simmons. Now, I know, again, I don't know how much, you know, how much confidence you have in Ben Simmons right now if you're Kevin Durant when he didn't suit up last year. But, you know, Ben Simmons still fits Kevin Durant very well. You know, he's super fast and he can rebound and take it off the glass and go. And his biggest asset is setting guys up. So I think if you added one more piece, why do you have to go somewhere else if you're Kevin Durant? To me, it's bring somebody else to you. And if you're looking, if you're Kevin Durant and you're watching the NBA Finals this past year, you're saying to yourself, all right, yeah, Golden State won it all with one superstar. The Celtics got to the NBA Finals really with one superstar. I mean, Jaylen Brown, some people might put him on that level. I put him as an all-star caliber player, but not a superstar. So if I'm Kevin Durant, I'm thinking, give me another all-star. I got a chance to win it again.
So I got to ask you then, the obvious question, is Kyrie with Brooklyn this upcoming season?
No.
Where do you want him?
Yeah, we've seen the list of his, he said, you know, not that I'm leaving, but here's a list of places I'd be happy to go. Is the destination on that list?
He can play with J.D. Davison on the Globetrotters, right?
No.
Throw him there. He'd be great. Now, listen, the bottom line is, I've always said this, does your talent outweigh your issues, right? And with Kyrie, that's a tough one, guys. I mean, his issues have been, you know, so glaring over the last few years with Boston and now Brooklyn, but I still feel like there are going to be a couple teams out there that will still say, and I think the Knicks could be one of them, right? Like the Knicks, if they strike out on Jalen Brunson, who appears to be their number one target at the point guard spot, and you get desperate, and there are a lot of GMs out there that are desperate, jobs on the line, you're going to roll the dice with a talent like Kyrie.
Jeff, they say life comes at you fast, and Jason Tatum ascended to all NBA this year, goes to the finals, and then didn't have a very good finals. Does that alter the way he's perceived league-wide? Is that a little bit of a black mark on his resume at this point, or is that just seen as part of the process?
I mean, he's 24. I think I remember seeing you, Lou, about a week ago, and you defended Jason Tatum and on TV, and I was like, you know what? He gets, like, he's 24 years old. He's made a jump every year. I get it. People wanted more out of him on the biggest stage. I wanted more out of him on the biggest stage. You know, he just wasn't ready for that yet, right? He had a couple bad games. It snowballed. I don't think anybody's going to ultimately judge him on what he did in the NBA Finals at 24 when he's got probably another 10-year window when he's going to be one of the top 10 players in the NBA. That's where he'll be judged.
So, Jeff, I wanted to ask you about my guy, Al Horford, who I love. And listen, I think he's fantastic for them. And I know he's got that $26 million contract, but I still look at him, and I know he was good for them this year. Ideally, I'd like for him to be a sixth man. I'd like for them to replace him in the starting lineup, but that's an expensive bench player. What do you do with Al? Do you run it back? Is he a starter? Or do you try to cut back some of those minutes and bring another body in?
No, it'd be great to bring in a Buddy Hield or Kevin Herter, and that way, you know, Robert Williams is your five man, and Al Horford comes off your bench and is playing, you know, 20 minutes a game, and he's fresher for the playoffs, right? That's ideally what you want for Al Horford next year. I don't think you can move off Al Horford. He still had a great year, and the bottom line is you saw how the locker room changed. A big part of that is Al Horford. You know, last time when he was here, I think he felt like he was hamstrung in what he could do because Kyrie was in the locker room. Now I think he feels more comfortable talking to these young guys. They feel more comfortable learning from him and taking advice from him. So I think Al Horford is absolutely pivotal for at least next year for them.
All right, Goody. Appreciate it, man. Thanks for taking some time with us. He's Jeff Goodman from Stadium. Appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
Lemonade. Fresh squeeze lemonade. Lemonade? Oh, nuts.
Is your business struggling to be seen, not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, mine starts here.